Welcome to episode 120 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 2nd of April, 2011. Today's hosts are Brad and Jason. Special guests are Aaron from Oz Tech News and Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads.
Hey guys, you're listening to Tech Webcast. This is Cody P. Christian of CBC Studios. Hey, if you're in the need for web design, web development, or multimedia services, please check out www.cpcstudios.com. That's cpcstudios.com.
Welcome to Tech Webcast, Australia's leading technology show. Download our iPhone app, www.techwebcast.info.
All right, welcome to Tech Webcast. This is episode 120. On Skype, we have Jason, Glenn, and Aaron. What's up, guys?
Hey, how's it going, Brad?
I'm going pretty well, mate. Yourself?
120 episodes.
Well,
going strong.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff.
More downloads every week, right?
Yep. We're at number two for about a week. We've dropped down a little bit. That's
go for
okay.
Number one. Yes.
That's okay,
we
but
can do it.
We can do it. Now, Jason, before we start, you got an iPad 2, mate.
iPad 2, yes. 16 gig black Wi-Fi only. Awesomest thing I ever bought.
All right.
Loving the hell out of it, you
so,
know.
So, what have you been using it for?
Playing a few games and social networking type stuff, that kind of thing.
Good stuff.
Sit there and browse the web while watching TV. It's fantastic. You don't have to wait for your laptop to boot up and doesn't take up half your lap and toast your legs while it's while it's going.
Good stuff.
So, yeah, play a few games on there, like Plants vs. Zombies. It's got Farmville on there, which I occasionally play. You know, Astroware, they've got a few games which are universal, which is great. The casino game, Mahjong and Odd Blob. And while months ago I downloaded Monopoly Here and Now version off the App Store, and it's got a local Wi-Fi version where you can play multiplayer.
Okay.
And so I loaded up the Monopoly game on my iPhone and give it to my daughter, and then I load up the same game on my iPad and we can play each other on the local network.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Which is a lot of fun. I mean, they don't have a HD version, so it's you have to zoom in, but it's still playable. You can see all the characters. You can play really well. And yep. When you're bigger and you've got bigger fingers, it's easier to point to things and hit the right target when you're selecting something.
For sure.
And because of that, we have also both like Uno. So while I was away last weekend, I downloaded Uno through 3G and put it on both devices, which is great because you only have to buy it once. Because you've got the iTunes account, you can put on a few different devices. So yep. I put Uno on the iPhone, put it on the iPad, and we were playing each other on the local network while on holidays and having a really great fun time. And I downloaded Angry Birds Rio HD to try out. That's, of course, a lot of fun. You get a free version of that. And also I've been using Friendly for Facebook stuff.
Yep.
It seems to be quite good, although every now and then when I'm scrolling down, it just jumps back up to the top of the screen, and you try scrolling down, it jumps back up the top again. So I exit it and then just kill it, restart it, and it comes back to life again. So it could be just some internal caching bug or something.
I really think Facebook needs a proper Facebook app for the iPad.
Yeah, unfortunately, Zuckerberg or the Zuck said that our iPad's not a mobile device, so they're not going to make anything, which is ridiculous.
That's tough.
And other couple of things I like. Flipboard.
Yep.
Loving the hell out of that.
Same.
It's great. It's a bit like that Paperly.
Love it.
So you can just sit there, flip through your Twitter stuff. I haven't actually connected to anything else, just Twitter, and had a look at a few other random photos that some people put on there. Echo Fun Pro for doing all my Twitter stuff. I'd already bought that, and I found out that it's universal, which was fantastic. It works really well. Beejive IM.
Yep.
Really like that for doing all my instant messaging, although they don't have a universal one, so they want you to buy another one. Unfortunately for me, that's like $13 in Australia, which is a bit too much, so I just use the iPhone version and zoom in, which is looks a bit yuck, but it works, so that's amazing.
Yeah, I think $13 for that application, it's worth it, mate.
Yeah,
I reckon it is anyway, so I'll try and hook you up this week for it. And what about...
When we were on holidays, so I tried out Skype from the iPad.
Okay.
My daughter was talking to her mum. I had it tethered to my iPhone 3GS. through Bluetooth, and we walked around the house and outside, and she could Skype to our daughter and watch her running around the backyard. She's up in Cairns, and we were up on the mid-north coast, so it seemed to work well. I mean, her frame rate looked about 2 frames a second, but she said she could see ours quite well, and I guess that's because of the low resolution of the camera. You don't really want to have 1080p when you're trying to do it through 3G or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's enough to do what it did, and it did the job quite well. Never dropped out or anything. And the other thing that I want to try out is some Kindle stuff, but unfortunately there's so many books that are not available in Australia, it just frustrates me. So we're going to have to find some way around that, and I want to be able to try reading some books on there.
Good stuff.
How about
mate?
Yourself? What kind of apps do you like?
Real Racing HD2. I got that the other day, and also GarageBand. Great.
Cool. You play Real Racing against other people on the internet?
I did. Yes, I do.
Okay. How's that go? You win?
Yeah, I have actually about 3 times.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Do you have like buttons for brake and accelerator? Or
No. It's the gyroscope for the iPad. So that's pretty easy. So that's pretty fun.
So awesome. Yeah, I love my device. It's fantastic. Yep. I don't regret one bit buying it. And in fact, when I got it, a friend of mine had actually lined up to get himself a 3G 64 gig iPad.
Okay.
And he waited in line 2 hours outside JB Hi-Fi, and when he finally got through in the line, they didn't have any of his there, but they had mine, so he picked up mine and I paid him back.
Good stuff.
I was like, thanks for standing in line for 2 hours to buy my iPad. You're a great mate.
I just want to make a quick point. Now, I made this point last time as well. People buying 3G and Wi-Fi, there's no point buying that. You can just use the hotspot on the iPhone 4 and just buy a 64 gig Wi-Fi and just use hotspot.
Yeah, he's got a Android that's got 2 gigs a month of data on it, but he said he doesn't want to just use that. He said we'll send both batteries flat is what he's worried about. So
he'd rather have
the two separate ones on separate 3G. I'm fine with tethering. I don't want to pay another $20 a month for another gigabyte.
Nah, that's crazy.
Save my money. I'm never going to use a gig on the iPhone anyway. So
for sure.
Guys, if you ever used an Android phone, you would pay the $20 to save your battery. Anyway. That's what I'd just say.
Yeah. So, Jason, just another question before we go into the guests. The iPhone 5, that's not coming out until next year, apparently. So,
it sucks. I've seen a few rumors about it not coming out, WWDC or not even being announced or anything, but maybe iOS 5. But then again, they're saying recently maybe iOS 5 won't be because they want to do more cloudy stuff like everybody else now. Amazon's just released their cloud drive, which is great if you're in the US, but completely useless for anywhere else because the music is not playable outside of the US.
Yep, for sure, mate, for sure.
Nobody mentioned it first when it first came out, so I was quite annoyed. I was thinking, yes, Amazon, I'll put some music there, try it out if they ever make an iPhone app, and it's like, oh, US only. Well, there goes that idea.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you need for a new phone? Are you actually going to get an iPhone 4 this year, or are you going to wait?
I might have to wait.
Really?
Yeah. If I get an iPhone 4 right now, then I'm going to have to wait another 2 years. So
yeah,
the iPhone 3GS does me for now. It's quite good. So
yeah, well, I won't be getting another phone. I'm going to stick with the iPhone 4. Does the job for me, so I'm not going to worry about it.
You mean the one that you smashed with the brick last week?
That was a joke. that was an April Fool's Day. Yeah. That was
what
quite
day
funny.
Is it, people? Duh.
Yeah.
You know, guys, I wouldn't be surprised if the iPhone 5 comes out in September.
Yeah,
I reckon it'll definitely be this year. September, October is when they do the iPod line every year.
Yeah.
And I reckon they're just pushing back until when they usually release the iPods for two reasons. One is that it's 3 months before Christmas, so it's new on everyone's mind. They definitely want to get it right before Christmas. And also because in the US they just released the iPhone 4 on Verizon, the CDMA version. And so just to give... Yeah, give Verizon a bit more time to be able to sell that phone and make money from it, and then make even more money by making everyone throw those away and then buy new phones all over again.
Slightly annoy the rest of us who are waiting for the 5 to come out right now in June.
Yeah.
Damn it!
All right, well, let's get over to the guests. We've got Aaron and Jason. Let's talk to Aaron first. Glenn and Aaron. Aaron's from OzTechNews.com. How are you, mate?
I'm really, really good. And before we get into a long chat, I'd really like to say that I really, really love your intro music. It's so retro. I feel like we're about to do a podcast about Olivia Newton-John's early television film career or something like that. It's awesome.
Yeah, I found it on a free music archive. It was part of a song, and I just cut out that bit because it sounded really good, and then talked over the top of an intro, and there you go.
Well, all things considered, it probably was like an Olivia Newton-John song or something like that, you know?
Could have been.
That's really cool.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, mate. So what is Oz Tech News?
Physical.
What is Oz Tech News?
What is Oz Tech News? It is not a tech news site. It's a site about the tech news.
Right.
That's really the point of difference. So it's content that's designed to encourage social engagement with people. So, you know, pretty much every article always ends with, what do you think? You know, it'll be an article that's my opinion or Brad's opinion. He started writing on the site. And really just encourage people to get involved in the conversation, and that conversation will be spilling over into Twitter or into the comments or wherever else. But that's really what I'm doing with the site.
Wicked, mate. Wicked. Now, what did you want to talk about today? Google versus Microsoft.
Oh, Microsoft versus Google, mate. It's on for young and old now.
It is.
It's quite funny because, I mean, it's massive news, and it was only just announced yesterday. You know, for those of you listening that aren't familiar with it, what's going on? It's Microsoft have launched an antitrust suit in the European Union, and it's bigger than you can even think it is. Mainly for the fact that it's gonna be dominating the news for the next 3 years, basically. You know,
is
it brings
up calling the kettle black.
Of course it is, but you know, you can't judge a company on its past. You got to judge a company on its present and future. Otherwise, you get left in someone else's dust. You know. I mean, PCs used to be called IBMs back in the day, you know. Now IBM aren't even in the PC business, you know. The thing about this is that it brings up a lot of old feelings, obviously, because Microsoft have been successfully sued for antitrust wrongdoings there. From Microsoft's point of view, it was an absolute last resort to have to do this. They are determined to see Google be found as a monopolist. And... yeah, you're going to see a lot of stuff in the news that are basically saying the wrong thing, because there's still a lot of anti-Microsoft resentment in the news. I saw one headline on SiliconANGLE Insider yesterday basically saying, yeah, Microsoft is sad and pathetic. It's not really like that. You know, what I always do is I read like 1,000 headlines a day in my job for Oztech News, and you see what everyone's saying. And I always read between the lines in what's in the news, and that's the sort of content that I'm writing. Now, with this sort of situation, what it's about, the reason why Microsoft filed this in Europe, first of all, to understand the angle, you've got to understand antitrust laws. And what most people don't realize is that antitrust laws are completely different in the US and in Europe, right? In the US, you are an antitrust abuser when what you're doing is that you hold a monopoly in a particular vertical market, and you abuse that monopoly to either stifle competition in your market or the adjacent ones, and to an extent that it hurts consumers for a lack of choice, right? That's what the US antitrust laws are. Whereas in Europe, it's simply illegal to be a monopolist. So the main difference is that in the US, like for example, the best example is, you know, Microsoft's own antitrust problems. In the US, they were killing Netscape, and the US government doesn't care. It's not their problem to look after companies beating up other companies. They're only concerned about how it hurts consumers, right? And with Microsoft, it was hurting consumers because they had a lack of choice in web browsers, and that's what the US angle was about. But in Europe, they are actually willing to bother punishing companies who are hurting other companies, not just consumers, but companies as well. So it's sort of interesting how everyone's learnt from all the Microsoft stuff is that if you really got problems with someone abusing a monopoly, you don't do it through the US anymore. You do it through Europe, because Europe are willing to actually just call people monopolists for hurting other companies. And then that gives you enough evidence to then go to the US and say, well, this company has been found to be hurting other companies. Now let's also talk about how that is hurting consumers. You know what I mean? And so this is why Microsoft have been doing this in Europe, and they're starting there. Obviously, they're going to ultimately want to go to the US government and kill them there, and that will be far more hurtful. But this is really the first step. So it's pretty interesting. And
it is very.
You know, Microsoft don't want to do this because obviously it brings up their own antitrust problems in the past, you know. It gets everyone thinking about that again. But when you look at the points that they made, I think the guy's name is Brad Smith, their chief legal counsel. Yeah, he was talking about the stuff that Google are doing, like restricting Microsoft from Windows Phone 7 being able to have a native YouTube app because they can't read YouTube's metadata. Google are allowing Android phones to do that, and they're allowing iPhones to do that, but they're purposely not allowing Microsoft phones to do that because they don't want Microsoft getting any sort of, they don't want them doing well with Windows Phone, you know what I mean? Don't want to get them any momentum is the word I was looking for. They've raised issues like other search engines being able to use the same sort of data to get the same kind of search results, that sort of stuff. The problem at the moment in Europe is that Microsoft were hoping that Google would just get nailed anyway with the other stuff that's going on. There's basically two antitrust problems going on at the moment. One is around Google Books. You know how they were scanning other people's books and wanting to sell the content online so people would pay to read books online, and that search data would only go through Google. They would have exclusive access to it even though no one owns the copyright to it. And the other problem they were having was about someone accused Google in Europe of showing bias towards their own search results at the top of the search results. And what's going on right now is that Google are actually in talks to settle with the European Union. It looks like they won't get nailed for it. And that is why Microsoft have gone and filed an antitrust suit themselves in Europe, so that they basically pick up a bazooka, point it at Google's head and pull the trigger and blast them for absolutely everything because these other things aren't working. So it's going to be funny. It's going to be really, really funny. But, you know, yeah, Microsoft didn't want to have to do this and get involved themselves. They just want Google to call it a monopolist, because the main thing is that, Microsoft were found to be a monopoly in Europe. Opera brought that case against them. And what it does is it brings 20 years of sanctions in Europe. So every time you make something or you want to release something, instead of being able to just put it out on the market, you've got to actually send it to European regulators who then look at it, review it, scrutinize it, and slow everything down. So Microsoft are stuffed in Europe right now because Google do whatever they want. They push it straight to the market. They've got something like 95% of search share in Europe on average. And meanwhile, Microsoft can't do anything, and they're stuck in purgatory at the moment because they're constantly having things evaluated by the European Union all the time. So at the very least, if Google are found to be a monopolist as well, at least they'll be fighting on even playing field, you know what I mean? So they're just determined to see that happen for their own benefit. But also, like, I'd put it out there and say Microsoft are basically right. When you understand what the antitrust laws are in Europe, that you just have to be found to be a monopolist and hurting other companies, Google are definitely doing it in Europe. And I think it's highly likely it'll take like 3 to 5 years, probably longer, for it to finally happen. But I think Microsoft will win this one, and then they'll finally be fighting on an even playing field.
All right, good point. All good points there, Glenn. Aaron, any Jason or Glenn got any comments about that?
I was just going to ask, at what stage would you declare that a company was a monopoly? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, because every company, their number one goal would be, you know, to be the best. And if it was to squash the competition, that's what everyone sets out to do.
I think it's there's no problem with having a monopoly position in a market, but it's when you abuse that monopoly to hurt competitors, that's where it becomes a problem. Like, one of the arguments that Microsoft made just recently is that Microsoft want to do toolbar deals with, like, telcos and that sort of stuff. So, like, you know, you buy a laptop and the Windows Live services are auto-installed on the computers and all that. Yeah. But Google have done so many search bar deals themselves with all the European telcos and all the companies that sell laptops and netbooks and that sort of stuff. And part of the licensing agreement says that you're not allowed to use anyone else's toolbars on your computers, otherwise you violate the agreement, even if you only get a search bar on your company's website or something like that. And everyone wants Google Search attached to their computers and to their websites and that sort of stuff because that's what everyone uses. So it's sort of like if they dare, frolic with the competition, then they're going to be left behind, and then they can't compete with their other competitors who are using Google. So everyone's too afraid to upset Google, and they're doing things by their rules to make sure that they stay relevant, because they've got that much power. And so the fact that Google are restricting companies from dealing with other companies, and Microsoft can't even sell, can't even give away Windows Live with laptops on computers because it'll violate those companies' agreements with Google, then that's Google basically using their power to restrict competition. You know what I mean? These are the sorts of points that they're bringing up, and that they're valid under European antitrust law.
So this is a bit like now the shoe's on the other foot for Microsoft. Because they started off, you're like giving the DOS away with all the computers and
They were actually charging a license for DOS with every CPU sold, even if you didn't buy DOS.
Yeah, so like they're complaining that they can't get live onto systems, whereas 20-30 years ago, people couldn't get DR DOS or whatever onto their systems.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. But the main thing is that the biggest change in Microsoft has been that Bill Gates is gone. You know, if you've ever heard about Bill Gates' history, the guy is probably the most ruthless businessman in the history of mankind, just about. As soon as he was out of the way, then Microsoft could start sort of resembling a normal company, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because there was a movie made about that. The name of it slips my mind a while ago. It was all about Gates and Jobsy, you know, and that's the one. Yeah, Pirates of Silicon Alley. Yeah, that's Valley. That's the one. That's a good movie, and it shows you just how ruthless Gates was, and he screwed over Jobsy, and there's been the animosity ever since, I think.
They had some interesting stuff from Paul Allen this week, who was saying how bad Bill Gates was trying to get his shares back off him when he was recovering from cancer and things like this.
He kept
on the shares, and now he's a multimillionaire.
All right, let's talk about TechEds, the podcast with Glenn. How are you, Glenn?
Yeah, good, thanks, Brad. Good.
That's right, mate. What is Aussie TechEds, and when did you start all this up, the podcast?
Yeah, so we've been going now since probably September 2006, I think it was.
Wow.
And we'd been doing a weekly podcast. So, each week we sit down, and no breaks for Christmas or Easter.
Yep,
another line that. We're straight through all year round. And, yeah, we just probably just get together, and just me and whoever else wants to come on, basically.
All right.
But initially it used to be a guy called Mark, who's now moved on. But, yeah, I went to school with Mark, and we just decided to do a podcast in the – but probably being inspired from Leo, yep. Leo Laporte and the Twit Network. And we thought, okay, like I used to listen to Leo and just got sick of listening to terminology like Verizon and all this sort of US-only terminology. And I thought, well, why can't we do something over here in Australia? So exactly. I thought, yeah, well, why not? Just get Aussie-orientated news, and we thought we'd talk about that. And then we just sat down, did the podcast, and went off on tangents as you do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And so Mark was a big part of it for a few years. And then now, after he did a few patches when he left and all this sort of stuff. And so we were filled in by numerous other guests, but now we seem to have settled down now with a guy called Will and also another guy called Eric. And together, like, I think that, the podcast is back on track with like news stories and more tech focused.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, that actually sounds like a bit like a tech webcast. A while back, we've had mix of people in, but we have the main people on each week, which is good.
It's good when you can get some consistent, reliable people on all the time.
It is very good.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that is a big issue. And because, like, you know, people are giving up their time for free, you can't really go crook.
No,
they've got something on.
Exactly.
So we record, and like we're trying to make it bigger all the time, like bigger and better all the time. By we're just introduced like a live audio stream only. People were saying, you know, we don't want to watch the live video stream.
Right.
We want to be able to listen to it on the iPhone in the car, but we just want the audio stream. So we've introduced that, and we're just trying to introduce a few other things, and see how we go.
All right. What's
do you host video online?
Do we host it? Yeah, the video you can go to. When the show is recorded, we do stream live video, and it is also through the Ustream. You can just watch the past episodes through Ustream.
Well, that's where I was going to ask where you get it hosted by.
Yeah, so just the video through Ustream. The audio, there's a place archive.org, which is great.
I've used that. I've got an account there. It's good.
Yeah, free, provides free bandwidth. It's that's great. I probably wouldn't do it if, you know, we couldn't have some quality, host service provider like that. That's great.
I think you can also set it up to automatically create a RSS feed to go into iTunes and automatically publish there as well with it.
I think it does do that. I think it also, initially it used to also convert your audio into different formats automatically for you.
Yeah, it does a couple of different formats. I think it does OGG and MP3.
Yeah, but after a while, I think if you upload too many to the one spot, it just stops doing that. So, but I do my RSS feeds manually and upload to another hosting spot that I've got, and and then iTunes feeds off that, etc. Yeah. So we do live and have the chat room and all that sort of stuff.
Do you guys have an iPhone app and that sort of thing? And
no, we used to have an iPhone app, but the guy that was developing it, he had to bail
okay.
on us.
Okay.
So, but that's probably, it's in the pipeline, but someone's got to get time to do it. That's the biggest enemy.
Yeah, for sure.
With everyone, I guess, is time, and that's especially for us.
Okay, so when's the next episode out from you guys?
Yeah, so we record live, warts and all, on Thursday nights.
Okay.
At around about 7 p.m. Queensland time.
Good stuff.
And you can watch it live at live.thesecrethub.com, and that just redirects you to a Ustream page, and we just go out live. We everyone's hooked up by video, and we use different technology to split video and feed it back through to Ustream, so you get different angles and different shots and all that sort of stuff.
All right, good stuff, mate. I've listened to two of the podcasts a few times. Great job, and it's interesting podcast, mate.
What sort of subjects do you have? Like maybe the last show, a couple of things you were talking about.
The things are just varied, really. Like mainly, it's just whatever what just tweaks your interest. I try to get Aussie tech related stories, like Jerry Harvey, how he having a moan about the GST and all this
even
sort of
Rush
stuff.
Lynn Kogan.
Yeah, and he's setting up his own shop
online shop now.
Yeah, yeah, and he's got issues with revenue sharing.
He's got issues, all right.
He's got a few issues. He just wants his head on the TV, I think. But
everybody else wants his head on a plate.
Yes. And then other stories, like I saw come today. They're selling Toshiba laptops for 40% off. Wow. End Sunday, all Toshiba laptops. So just different stories like that, I suppose. We don't try and do too many NBN stories because I'm just sick of it.
Yeah,
we all want it, but I'm sick of hearing about it. We just want it.
For sure, I agree.
Yeah, just wherever it sort of takes us, really. You do a few Apple stories.
Yep.
I'm in the process of trying to get an iPad 2. I've got one Apple Power PC, is it? It's an old one. That's what we record the show on through GarageBand.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I've got an Android phone and probably looking for an iPad just to have some sort of Apple mobile device.
Oh, yeah, get an iPad too, I agree. They love it. You'll love it.
Yeah, yeah. Great device, and also just to if I get something like that, I can then hopefully get time and develop an iPad/phone application, yeah.
Wicked. All right. Okay, let's go to Jason with some tech news before we go.
Alrighty, some tech news. While carriers across the globe begin to push the March update to Windows Phone, commonly known as Nodu, neither Telstra or Optus are delivering it for Australians. There is one exception to this rule, and that's the brand new HTC HD7, but that shipped with the Nodu on board. Optus posted an update of their progress a few hours ago. From the update, we're working with Microsoft to deliver this update. Some testing to be done, and we'll tweet as soon as we have a clear date. It's great to see Optus finally communication about the WP7 Nodu update. There's been days of unhappy Aussie WP7 customers complaining about the delay. Still, it's disappointing that Australia is quickly becoming one of the last countries in the world to get the much-needed Nodu update. With no clear date, it's just a matter of waiting longer or looking into alternative methods for getting Nodu on your device. An eBay app that had been downloaded more than 9 million times in the US and UK is now available in Australia. The latest update to eBay's online shopping app, eBay 2.1, allows users to compare in-store prices with items on the internet by simply scanning the item you simply have to have with your iPhone camera. Buyer's remorse? No problem. You can now create a new eBay listing from taking a snap of it with your phone and uploading it in less than 60 seconds. If that's too complicated or time-consuming, Red laser barcode scanning technology will do it for you. The eBay technology, which it acquired in June last year, reads the barcode recorded using the iPhone camera and uses the information stored in it to pre-fill the listing categories for you. If a similar item is already for sale, the sell like this one option will automatically create a listing that uses the same category and item condition information. It's all part of a massive push from eBay, which last year saw sales on mobile devices soar from $600 million to $2 billion annually. Vodafone's infinite plans were always pretty good value for talk and text, but when it came to data, there was a big asterisk that said you couldn't use the data bundled for tethering. After a bit of backlash, the telcos decided to change its tune. A Vodafone representative on Whirlpool has confirmed that the tethering charges for infinite plans has been dumped as of past Monday. Gus over at Lifehacker has also managed to get confirmation that the terms and conditions on the infinite plans will be updated soon, and that anyone who got stuck with the tethering charges prior to March 28 would simply have to wear them. While it's probably not enough to convince someone to opt for the infinite plan over any other plan on its own, it's good to see Voda has brought premium plans into line with the majority of smartphone plans available. Speaking at the annual pay TV conference, Foxtel CEO Kim Williams opened up about the next stages for the company. If you like your entertainment with a thick layer of IPTV on top, you're going to enjoy Foxtel's offering in a few years. According to Williams, the next set-top box is scheduled to launch in the financial year 2012-13, and it's shifting focus from broadcast with a touch of IP to IP with a touch of broadcast. The new STU is all about providing the flexible platform which meets consumer expectations as we mutually ride the digital wave. Foxtel's next-generation HD broadband broadcast set-top unit will offer web-based interfaces, fully integrated contemporary search and recommendation functions, better storage capacity and content management. It'll be hot-wired to the internet, provisioning access to a magnificent cloud of tools and content goodies. It's a positive step forward that Williams actually recognises that consumers will want flexibility in their TV watching experience. How Foxtel differs, that is still to be seen, but Williams seems to at least acknowledge it. Consumers want to find things as easy as possible and then to either watch a superbly programmed service or pull single pieces of content down simply, and they want to be enabled to watch what they selected from a smart device of their own choice. It's a slow process, but it seems like rules are turning in favour for the consumer when it comes to accessing TV in the future. That's the news for today.
All right, what was that signal from the phone, was it?
Somebody's got a GSM phone that's... interfering.
Okay, that was not good for the podcast. Aaron and Glenn, start with Aaron. Where can I find you on the internet, mate?
OzTechNews.com. That's OZ Tech News.
All right. And Twitter? Same username? Same?
Sure is. OzTechNews.
Yep. Good, mate. All right. And you're going to be back again and on the podcast again, Aaron, to talk about some more tech news, mate. I think that was good, interesting topic.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Wicked.
Absolutely.
All right. Good stuff. And Glenn, where can they find you, mate?
Yeah, you can find us at aussietechheads.com.au. That's Aussie as in AUSSIE. And on the Twitter at AussieTechHead, all one word.
All right, wicked, mate. And Warlock, where can they find you, mate?
JasonOakley.me and Warlock on Twitter, WAULOK. And Brad, where do they find you?
They can find me on Twitter, Brad Oz, TechLuster, and on Facebook, on Twitter as well. And cool. Also, I just want to mention, Jason, John is off to Singapore on Tuesday to live.
Wish him to have a nice time.
Yeah. He's looking forward to it.
He's going to make it to Australia one of these days?
I hope so. He should.
That Grand Australia site, but I thought it was because he was moving to Australia at some stage.
A lot of people have been saying that.
He just likes it a lot, does he?
Yeah, I think people have been asking me, why has he made that website? Is he actually moving to Australia or, I don't know, people...
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because he's got Grand Australia. Australia is wonderful. I love Australia. I'm moving to Singapore.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
I know what you mean. A lot of people have been saying that to me, but he's moving to Singapore and then hopefully he'll get a job and then he'll save some money and then he'll move to Australia.
Cool. One day.
Yeah, better
weather. One step at a time.
Good stuff. All right, big thank you to Glenn and Aaron for coming on the show.
No problems, mate. It's been
no worries at all. No worries. We're going to go sink some cans later, Glenn, eh?
Sweet.
For sure. Wicked. For sure.
Yep, for sure.
Oldies.
Get drunk. Thanks, guys.
Crack a cold one.
Yep.
This is Tech Webcast. Computers.
Technology. Gadgets.
Another geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast
and
on Facebook, and check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on, tune in, drop on.